Well-Tempered Baroque is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is provided by listener members like you. Become a member at wwfm.org. Thank you. This is Well-Tempered Baroque, and I'm Dr. Lewis Barretts. The violin was one of the leading instruments of the Baroque era. Just think of the concertos of Vivaldi and Bach and the sonatas of Corelli and Handel. But the violin was not always such a respected and virtuosic instrument. When it became established at the French court sometime before 1530, the violin was considered an instrument for dance music. When Henry VIII brought the Bassanos, the Lupos, and other Italian musicians of probable Jewish origin to court in 1540, the violin became more popular in noble circles. But it still had an association with the fiddle, or viol and rebec of the Middle Ages, instruments associated with acrobats and mere musicians. Gradually, the violin was elevated in status as its versatility became recognized. It could be used for dance music, both civic and courtly, and it found a significant place in the intermedi of the Florentine court. With the dawn of the Baroque era around 1600, the violin's tone color and expressiveness, its range, and its potential as a virtuosic instrument to rival and supplant the cornetto changed the way composers and society viewed it. We're listening to a solo sonata of Biagio Marini, one of the first true violin virtuoso players and composers of the early 17th century. The violin soloist is Andrew Manson. Thank you. early sonata for violin and basso continuo by Biagio Marini. That was Andrew Manzi's soloist with Romanesca. Unlike the viola da gamba family, the violin was held against the breastbone or collarbone. The bow was held overhand and there were no frets, which made it a bit more of a challenge. But once it was adopted at the ducal court of Mantua, which had among its musicians Soleimani Rossi and Claudio Monteverdi, it was here to stay. Expert makers such as Niccolò Amati, Antonio Stradivari, Jakob Steiner in the Tyrol, Matthias Hoffmanns in Antwerp, and Louis Gersan in Paris supplied instruments for professional players throughout Europe. Composers worked feverishly to explore the instrument's abilities, and the best performers could find work at the courts, churches, theaters, and opera houses just about anywhere. Biagio Marini, for instance, traveled greatly during his long life. He was born in Brescia in 1594, he died in Venice in late 1663, and he had worked at Neuburg an der Donau, Dusseldorf, Milan, and Bergamo. He is said to have introduced double and triple stops, something a bit easier on period violins than on modern violins because of the lower string tension, the flatter bridge, and the bow design. Let's hear another example of Biagio Marini's groundbreaking violin music. This is the fourth sonata from his Opus 3 of 1620. This is again Andrew Manzi with Romanesca. Thank you. That was Biagio Marini's Sonata 4 from his Opus 3 of 1620, performed by Andrew Manzi and Roman Esca. Let's move a bit north now. Johann Heinrich Schmelzer was from the town of Scheibs in Lower Austria, and he was born there around 1620. That was the date of publication of Biagio Marini's Opus 3. Schmelzer was made a violinist of the court chapel in 1649. This is the court of Ferdinand III, Holy Roman Emperor. And he quickly rose to the emperor's favor, and then he served the new emperor, Leopold I. That was Ferdinand III's son, who eventually ennobled him after making him Vice-Kapellmeister of the imperial court. Schmelzer would have a profound influence on Bieber and on musicians throughout Europe. He was a champion of the Fantastica style, that dreamlike and wildly virtuosic style that combines the flamboyance of Italian music with the religiosity of Germany and Austria. Schmelzer finally became Kapellmeister after the death of that office holder, but within a year the court fled to Bohemia to try to outrun the plague. Sadly, however, the plague caught up with him, and he died in Prague in March 1680. We're going to hear one of his programmatic sonatas, and program means that it's a piece that has a narrative or depicts something, in this case, the cuckoo, Andrew Manzi with Romanesca.
Thank you.
we heard Andrew Manzi performing The Cuckoo of Johann Heinrich Schmelzer. By the late 17th century, the violin and its family members, the viola, which at least in France appeared in two or three sizes, the cello, and also in France the bust of violone, were staples of the court orchestra, the civic orchestra, and the opera orchestra. It was also an instrument par excellence for chamber music. The sonata also went through a refinement. By this time, it was mostly found as a multi-movement work. It could be a sonata da chiesa, that is, apt for church, so dance titles were avoided, or da camera, chamber, more or less the same, but with clearly indicated dance titles. Widespread music publishing also meant that Venetians, Amsterdamers, Londoners, and Parisians could acquire the latest music from across Europe, and an international musical language flourished, with the understanding that there were still characteristic Italian, French, English, German styles, but the cross-pollination was here to stay. One composer who worked during the transition from the mid to the late Baroque was Martino Bitti, a violinist at the court of Cosimo III de' Medici, the Grand Duke of Tuscany. Among Bitti's surviving works are a set of eight sonatas da camera for violin, published in London in 1711. This is Sonata 8, which comprises a prelude and three Italian dances, a carente, cavata, and minuetto. The violinist is Alessandra Talamo with Ensemble Respighi. We heard violinist Alessandra Talamo and Ensemble Respighi performing Sonata 8 from a collection of 8 violin sonatas of Martino Bitti, violinist to Cosimo III de' Medici, Duke of Tuscany, and these were published in London in 1711. The celebrated Arcangelo Corelli was highly influential. Londoners were buying prints of his music years after he died. His level of playing, his ensemble direction, and his composing became the international standard for many years, even after his death. He was born with a prestigious family name, but his father died a month before he arrived. Fortunately, his mother had the means to raise him and his 4 older siblings. She sent him to Fienza for organ and violin lessons, and by the time he was 13, he had gone to Bologna to study. He flourished in this music center, a prodigy no doubt, and by the time he was 17, he had been admitted to the Accademia Filarmonica. 5 years later, he was thriving in Rome. Corelli indulged in a new style of idiomatic violin florid writing and ornamentation, and it became widely popular, as demonstrated by the large number of reprints of his music over an impressively long period of time. As an example of his violin virtuosity and expressiveness, we hear the sonata in A major, opus 5, number 6, which appeared in Rome around 1700. This is violinist Cynthia Freivogel with Brandywine Baroque.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cynthia Freivogel was the soloist with Brandywine Baroque in the Sonata in A Major of Arcangelo Corelli, published around 1700. Another significant violin virtuoso from Italy, whose music was well known in England, was Francesco Geminiani. Geminiani most likely studied with Corelli from 1704 to 1706, but he was disillusioned with Italy, and in 1714 he left for England. The example we'll hear of his work clearly shows influence of Corelli, and yet there's a slightly more relaxed quality to the music, an intimacy that the English must have found quite appealing. This is Elizabeth Walfish, violin with the Purcell Quartet. The piece is Francesco Geminiani's Sonata No. 3 in E minor from his Opus 1 collection of 12 violin sonatas, which appeared in Amsterdam around 1716.
Thank you.
We heard Elizabeth Walfisch with the Purcell Quartet in the Sonata in E minor, Opus 1, No. 3 of Francesco Gemignani. Let's jump ahead to a violin virtuoso of the late Baroque and early classical era, Giuseppe Tartini, who was born to Italian parents in what is today Slovenia in April 1692. Tartini's parents first thought he would be a priest, then a lawyer, but he loved to fence, and he had a notorious temper, and then he married against his parents' wishes, and this forced him to take refuge for 3 years in, of all places, a convent, where he did little else than practice. Then he found full-time work as a violinist, and in 1723 he traveled to Prague to play at the coronation of the Holy Roman Emperor as King of Bohemia. He remained in Prague for several years. There was a bit of a scandal involving another woman and a baby back home. But he finally returned to Padua to open his violin school. He lived until 1770 with more stormy episodes to face. We have time for the final movement from his Sonata in A major. This is violinist Fabio Bondi. Thank you. We heard the Allegro from the Sonata in A Major of Giuseppe Tartini, featuring violinist Fabio Bondi. You've been listening to Well-Tempered Baroque, and I'm Dr. Lewis Barretts. Today, we focused on the music of some of the virtuoso violinists of the Baroque era. If you enjoyed the program today, a production of the Classical Network, please consider becoming a donor to or a member of our station. Visit us on the web at wwfm.org for more information, to become a member or to help support this show and our other programs. And you don't have to be local. Through our streaming, Well-Tempered Baroque is heard throughout the world. And it is the world community that is the Classical Network. I'm Dr. Lewis Barretts. Have a great week.